We are so blessed this morning because the Lees are back from New Zealand. And so we want to say kia ora this morning. And they've actually been here since Friday. So we had, oh my goodness, it's such a powerful time in the presence of God on Friday over at Excel Church. And then we had an amazing service last night. Here's what I'd like you to pay attention to. You know, the body of Christ is just so beautiful, isn't it? So many different gifts in the body of Christ. And this couple, this family, hey, what happened to the kids? They went to kids' church. Oh, they did. Okay. Oh, good. This couple just operates in just an amazing supernatural gifting from the Holy Spirit. And it's not just something we can benefit from, but it's something we can observe. Watch how, like, the Lord just works so powerfully through them. And ask the Lord yourself, like, Lord, how could you work powerfully through me? Because this couple is on fire for Jesus. They are on fire. They came all the way from New Zealand, like, on their own. They subsidized themselves, right? So later on, we want to help them because they just paid for this themselves. We have not talked about, like, how to pay for them coming or anything like that. They said, hey, Pastor, we're going to be, you know, back again. But last time they came, which was in June, oh my gosh, that was such a powerful, there was, I don't know if you remember this, Joe, but you gave us an extended word, a word of knowledge about our church. And I just looked it over again yesterday, you know, just to remind myself. And my goodness, what the Lord spoke through you is, like, so powerful. I have it in case anybody is interested in hearing more about that, but we'll talk about it at lunch. But would you give a big, warm Mililani welcome to Joe and Leslie Lee as they come this morning, minister to us. Hallelujah.
Aloha. Aloha. Sorry, I forgot. In New Zealand, we say kia ora. It's the Māori language in New Zealand. So we are from New Zealand. And while we were having worship just now, I just heard the Lord say, behold, the winter is gone. So some of you have been walking out a winter season, and it has felt like a wilderness, it's felt hard, it's felt challenging, but in that winter season, your roots have gone down deep. So externally, you might not feel like that there's been much growth or harvest or increase, but the Lord wants to remind you that there is a depth that's growing in you. And that is going to begin to come out externally. You see that sometimes we all walk in different seasons at different times, right? If you like, you look at a fruit tree, there's not fruit on that tree 12 months of the year. That it goes through its season. And there's a season that God is bringing you into where there's an increase of fruit, but there's also an increase of new zeal. So as us New Zealanders come and hang out with you this morning, I feel like there's going to be a shifting from a winter into spring, into new life, into new zeal, into new places that you haven't been before, both in the spirit but also in the natural with your lives and the things that God is giving you influence over. So we pray this morning, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you would open us up to those new places, those new territories, because the kingdom of God is always increasing. We are always advancing. We are not retreating, but we are more than conquerors in you, and we are increasing in you and advancing you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Awesome word, eh? Awesome word. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's so good to be here. And if you guys, who was here last night? Wasn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
What a beautiful presence. You know, that was really a revival presence where God starts to take over the service and we just yield to Him. You know, and a lot of what the body of Christ, I believe, is learning to do is how to yield to the Holy Spirit in this generation, in this time. This is our number one focus, and particularly in our ministry as well, it's our number one focus is how do we yield more to the Holy Spirit? Amen? Because it's His church. Amen? And I just want to thank Pastor Mike and Mona as well. You guys are just honor us so much. And we just really love coming here and feeling a part of your family. You know, we were here last year. The first time we're visitors, second time we're family, amen? So we feel like family now, you know, and we can just feel the honor. I was talking to Leslie last night. We can feel the honor that you have for our ministry and what we carry and how you've opened your heart and your church to us. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much, you know, and it's an honor. So I just want to share a couple of resources that we have available down the back. This is Leslie's book. If you didn't get it last year, The Joy Within Me, it's for it's a children's book. So if you have grandkids or children and you want to read them something that has a gospel message, it's a salvation message, it's a rhyming book about a boy that's in an orphanage and he ends up bringing the joy of the Lord to the orphanage. It's a wonderful story, so you can pick up that up down the back. And I've written another book this year called The Leadership Revolution. And it really, the premise of it really is that if everyone is an influencer, if everyone is influencing someone, then everyone is a leader. And it's like Carol said, you might not be an evangelist, but you can still evangelize. And you might not be called to lead like in a pastoral capacity or in a big corporation, but if you're a mum, you're leading your children. Amen. Right? And so we can all lead someone. And so this really, it's about the heart of what it means to be a leader. And I've used many of the leaders in the Bible, just short excerpts, and I've tried to take out keys to every leader in the Word of God that we can draw on in our hearts. So if you would like to just read a short book that will inspire you, you can get that down the back as well. And we can give a couple away to some people, so today, because who wants one? She wants the baby one. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I wanted to show a clip last night. I didn't have time, but I think we've got... on Friday night, I spoke about the radio miracle, the lady that touched the radio. And so I've got that clip today from the crusade we did last year, at the end of last year, in the island of Tonga. Do you guys want to see a miracle testimony before we get into the message? I don't know if we can bring that up.
So what was your sickness that you had?
I had pain in my head, so I went to the hospital. And the doctor said they found out that the nerve, four of the nerves is stuck in her head.
Four of the nerves four are nerves. Stuck in her head.
Yes. And the doctor told me there's a hospital in the south in New Zealand. They can treat you. The doctor told me it's going to cost me 100,000 maybe New Zealand dollars to be fixed. It was 32 years when she was playing as a young girl. Netball.
32 years.
32 years.
She had this nerve
she
pain.
She had this problem. She's 55 years
She's 55
old
now.
Yes.
No doctors here.
Yeah,
and what happened last night?
I never met a help on it. Netball. Last night I look at the pastor on TV. And I prayed and I asked Jesus. Because maybe this is my doctor from New Zealand.
Dr. Jesus! Come on, somebody!
Come on, somebody!
So she turned the TV station over, but she began listening on the radio. And then she heard the word of knowledge. And she touched the radio. Is that right? And then you felt heat come down that whole part of your body and leave out your arm.
Because She felt something crying out from her ears. And she felt warmth on her head. Praise God.
Come on, so hallelujah, come on.
Jesus. So good, eh? So good. And, you know, that crusade in Tonga really changed the landscape of Tonga. We had the Queen involved, the Queen of Tonga. She came to three of the four nights. We had the nobles there. The ex-Prime Minister got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And one night we had over 200 people baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, and most of them were children. And the pastor said to me that a lot of these children that came up were from the Catholic Church, from the Methodist, from the mainline churches, and they were getting baptized in the Spirit. And so we had a great impact. The hospital in Tonga recorded the week after our crusade that the numbers in the hospital were significantly lower, and they didn't know why. And it was so significant that it made the 6 o'clock news in Tonga, the sudden drop in numbers. And so we had the crusade on national TV over there. And so by the final night, the stadium was absolutely packed with people. We had such an amazing event. And even over the summer, a friend from Tonga texted me and said, they're still playing the crusade every night on the national TV over there. And so it was just an incredible impact, you know. And it was a major blessing. So we're going to be back there in June doing another crusade in one of the other islands. And that island is just hungry for God. They're just ready for a move of God. It's so exciting. And so we were talking about love last night. We didn't get very far. But, you know, because God wanted to show his love. Amen. And it's amazing because, you know, as I said last night, you can only give what you have received. And so many of us struggle to give the type of love God describes in the Bible, which I'm going to mention, talking about the agape love of God. Many of us struggle to give that because we've never received it. And so a lot of what's happening in the body of Christ at the moment is redefining what love looks like and redefining how do we receive the love of God in our lives so that we can give the love of God. And you know, the Bible talks about four types of love. There's four types of love in the Bible. The first type of love is one that, you know, pretty much what the devil tries to make people think, especially in their teenage years, is the type of love that they need. So that's why you have the teenagers that will go out, they'll try and find a boyfriend, they'll try and find a girlfriend, they'll get involved in promiscuity or, you know, fornication, things like that. You know, there's that young pregnancies and all that type of thing, because the enemy is telling them, this is what love looks like. You need this type of love. This is how you receive your value. And oftentimes that is because they haven't received the appropriate value at home to know what real love looks like, to know what pure affection looks like from parents, from family. And so they go and they look for this lust, which they then think will give them validation, will then make them feel wanted, will make them feel valued as a person, eh? And so that is a real tragedy of how the enemy begins to sow in the sense of false love into people's lives. So we need the genuine love of God, especially for our youth, amen, so we can overcome the pressure of social media and the pressure of MTV videos and the pressure of what the world is trying to push as this is what love looks like. This is how you get affection. This is how you get value, is like this. Amen. And of course, that type of love really is confined to the marriage, amen, to the marriage. The other type of love that is found in the Bible, apart from that type of love, is a love called phileo love. Phileo love is, you know, you have a city in America, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. You know, phileo love is brotherly, sisterly love, it's friendship love. And that is a biblical form of love, that we are called church members, but friends. Amen. And that is a phileo love that is very important. The third type of love is what they call storge love, which is the nurturing love like a parent, like a mother would have for a child, or a father would have for a child. It's that family love. It's that nurturing love. It's that deep bond of connection between family members. It's the nurturer. It's the encourager. It's the father heart of God towards people. It's the mother heart of God towards their children. And that type of love is also a biblical love. You know, that is important that we have that type of love in our families and in our marriages. The fourth type of love is a love that before Jesus came, it was not used in this capacity. In fact, Paul and the writers of the New Testament, they couldn't find a word for love that described the love that they felt from God. It was a divine love. It was a love that they couldn't find in the mechanics of interactions with human nature or the relationships between humans during that time. And because of that, Paul had to take a word that was scarcely used to mean love in the Greek, and he had to use it in a whole new context. And that word is agape. And he said, this is the love of God. This is the true divine love that Jesus brought to the earth that previously had not been in the earth. And Jesus brought it in. And it was called agape. And so they found a word and they reused that word to represent a new form of love that God had brought into the earth. And so one of the things that I think about is in the church today, a lot of what we call the highest form of love in church, I believe it's phileo. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not the highest form. And so we have a brotherly bond, we have a friendship bond, and we interact, we engage, and that's all good, but it's not the highest form of love that we're meant to be operating in. The highest form of love is the agape love of God. And this type of love can only come from the divine connection that we have with our Heavenly Father. The only way that we can encounter this love, receive this love, and give this type of love is through receiving from Father God. And so because of that, we need a new paradigm in our thinking when we think about how do we receive and give love. And so the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that word is agape. It's not phileo. So friendship love was not enough for God to give his son. Amen. Amen. Storge love was not enough for God to give his son. It had to be agape love. It had to be something on such a divine level of selflessness that God would desire to give his best offering, his most precious son, his beloved son, for the sins of the world, for you and me. It had to be the highest form of love. So agape love is completely selfless. It doesn't think about what can I get out of the relationship. It doesn't think about I will only love you as long as you love me back. It doesn't say I will love you on the conditions that you're a good person or that you follow the XYZ of our relationship or that you tick all the boxes and you read your Bible a certain number of times a day. It's not based on that. The agape love only thinks about the other person's well-being. The Bible says in the book of John, what type of love has God lavished upon us? What manner of love that we should be called children of God? That's agape. What manner of agape is this? It's not human. It's not within our ability to understand it. But it actually comes to the fallen nature and recreates the fallen nature that we might be called children of God. That this love is so selfless, it draws us into the family of the Godhead. That it looks past our failings and our faults and our sin and our struggles and our tragedies and our issues, and it looks past all that and it says, I'm inviting you in. Like someone that has adopted a child that's come out of extreme abuse and extreme poverty, and that person does not see the poverty, does not see the abuse, does not see the behavioral issues, but adopts him in to a family where they can be loved. That's what the Father has done for us. He has put us in that divine family of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and us. With everything that we carry, because that love is selfless. It only thinks about our good. You know, Jesus said, by this, people will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. And that word is not phileo love. He's not saying by this you will know that you're my disciples by the friendship that you have for one another, or the brotherly banter that you have for one another, which is all good, or the sisterly, you know, coffee talks that you have for one another, which is all good. But that's not the love that the world will see that you're my disciples. And it's not storge, and it's not eros, it's agape love. And I believe why the world isn't saying, wow, they're the disciples of Jesus, is because we're not operating in that divine love like we could, amen? We're learning, we're growing, amen? We're discovering, we're understanding, but we're not quite there yet. And God is wanting us to move into that place of total abandonment to self, where we're willing to live our lives for the benefit of someone else. Amen. And the only way we can do that, because that sounds like a type of hard life of martyrdom and selflessness, and it's not actually talking about you being a martyr and, you know, just laying yourself down, everyone just running over you and beating on you, and I'm just the martyr that everyone just beats on. And, you know, it's not talking about that, because you are receiving the love of God first for yourself. And then out of that, you're giving. Amen. So we're not talking about that, you know, that codependency type where you have to be the rescuer. Amen. Of the victim all the time. And so you're running around in your life trying to rescue people because that makes you feel valuable all the time, and trying to be the martyr and trying to be the one that's in the middle of the crisis all the time. And you're the rescuer syndrome, and there's the victim and there's the attacker, and, you know, that codependent type thing. We're not talking about that, because those that learn how to agape others have an extreme sense of self-value, because they themselves are loved by God. You understand? You know? And being the oldest son, in my family, I kind of knew what that was like because I had the oldest son syndrome. I got to save everyone. I got to be responsible for everyone. You know, and when I came to Jesus, it was easy for me to flick the, you know, the eldest son responsibility syndrome into the gospel because it was like, oh, I already do that. I know how to be a martyr. I just lay, you know, it's easy to be a martyr because it was already in my understanding. So it was easy for me to not look after myself and just try and lay my life down for everyone else. But actually, it wasn't in a healthy way. It was in an unhealthy way because I wasn't caring for self. And one day God said to me, you know, son, you know, I was the martyr. You know, like I died on the cross, you know, like just point people to me like you didn't die on the cross for no one. You know what I mean? Like, okay, God, you know, I'm doing this for you. I'm so tired. I'm so worn out, but it's all for Jesus. I'm such a martyr. And it's like, no, because you're not actually receiving self-value and self-worth. Because how can you give self-worth to someone else if you don't have it for yourself? You guys understand what I'm saying? And so there's those four areas of love. And so if you have a look like in Mark chapter 12, 28 to 34, and in every gospel it says this, you shall love the Lord your God, amen, yes, with all your heart. We all know that, right? With all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments, right? So I believe that within the two great commandments, there's four principles. Okay? Within the two great commandments, there's four principles. And here's the thing. Before we can love someone else, there's three things we have to do in our own lives. So forget trying to love someone without doing these three things. Are you ready? Have I got your attention? Because you cannot give away what you have not received, the first thing, which is like the hidden principle of this verse, is before you can love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, you have to learn how to receive God's love. You have to understand that He loves you with all His heart. Come on now. With all His mind. With all His strength. He loves you like that. He wouldn't get you to do something for Him that He didn't do for you. Once again, the book of John says, not that we love God, but that He first loved us and gave Himself for us, a substitution for our sins. So He loves us first. What does it look like for God to love you with all His heart? That's a lot of love. The heart of God loving you with all of His heart. What does it look like for God to love you with all His mind? Like, think about where the Bible says, the thoughts that I have for you are more in number than the sand on the seashore. Sometimes we struggle to even hear the voice of God, yet the Bible says His thoughts toward us are more in number than all the sand in Hawaii. All the sand on the seashore, just you, sir. That's how many thoughts God has towards you. Because He loves you with all His mind. And you see, we make a big deal about the prophetic, but I see the prophetic like this. All the prophetic is taking one thought that God has out of all the thoughts, all the sand, and taking one granular sand and revealing it to you. There's so many thoughts about you. And we just take one and open it up. With all His mind, with all His strength, what does it look like for God to love you with all His strength? You know, we're so busy in life. We're so worn out sometimes. You know, we get so tired. We sometimes have that lack of strength just to even take care of ourselves and our family, let alone serve in church or serve other people, you know. But think about the love God. He puts all his strength into loving you. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, hang on, God loves me with all my heart. God loves me with all his mind. God loves me with all his strength. Why don't I feel the love of God in my life? Why don't I think that God loves me? Why don't I experience that? See, that's the problem. Because we haven't learned how to receive his love. If we learn how to receive the love of God, we'd be better ministers. We'd be better husbands. We'd be better wives. We'd be better parents. We'd be better members of the body. If we learn how to receive the love of God. So before we can even give anything away and start loving your neighbor, we have to receive. And you know, I was asking God about this a couple of years ago, Pastor, because I know that we had to receive, and Israel, where this was originally said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God laid down this law, you're to love me with all your heart, soul, and strength. It was like they could only give away or love God with what they received. So how does that work in the Old Testament model? And God gave me a revelation. He said, well, son, when did I speak that to Israel? What was the situation? And I realized I had this vision of Israel in that wilderness. Now, you remember that God was with them in the wilderness in a cloud and a fire. And so there was a visible representation of God with Israel. And God said to me, you see, I am love, right, Joe? I said, yeah, that's your nature. It's not what you do, it's who you are. He said, so that fire was love. And that cloud was love. You know how when there's dew in the morning and you go for a walk, you can feel it? You feel the dew. You feel the atmosphere. They were in the cloud, which was love. They were in the atmosphere of love. So they were already receiving the love of God. So when God said in that atmosphere, love me, he was saying, love me like I'm loving you right now. Wilderness. God said, I led you like a father led his children. That he was with them, protecting, providing for them. Nurturing them, helping them, providing for them. So he was there with that love, and then he said, now love me with the same love that I'm loving you. Jesus. So we begin to love God. That should be the first thing. Before we learn to love other people, we should be learning, how do I love God? How do I have a love relationship? Like, we travel, we minister all the time, but God is always on my case. Will you love me today, Joe? Will you hang out with me today, Joe? Will you doing anything? Because the problem is to get value from who we are is hard when we're always getting value from what we do. And we're so busy doing, we never stop to just be who we are. And what happens is busyness becomes artificial significance. So I get so busy doing, that begins to creep into my value. And I start to think my value's in my work, my value's in how much I serve, my value's in how much I know, my value's in my status in my community, my value's in my position, my value's in how much I make every year. And we stay so busy, we just don't stop and just receive love for who we are. And then we just make it barely to church and then put our hands up and think, why doesn't God love us? Because you got to stop and let Him lavish love on you. Because you're a child of God. The third thing we have to do before we love anyone right now, we're just learning, okay, we're receiving, we're responding. The Bible says that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. That you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So there's a hidden principle in there that we have to learn how to love ourselves before we love our neighbor effectively. So we have to learn how to receive love. We have to learn how to love God. And then we have to learn how to love ourselves. Now we're ready to love our neighbor. Now we're ready to effectively love our community. You understand the difference here? Because most of us are doing that first. We're loving people. We're trying to do our best. We're trying to serve. We're trying to do this and that. We're trying to love the neighbor like this. We do that first. And then at the end of the day, before we go to sleep, it's like, okay, God, now I'll pray to you. Jesus, Jesus. Shh. Okay, I'll do my study now. With the TV on in the background so you can't focus, you know. And we've got it back to front, you see. And that's why I believe that we're not as productive as we really could be, you know. Because guess what? There's a difference between busyness and fruitfulness. And I believe that we're going from being busy to being fruitful. Amen. Where we have fruit that remains in our lives. Because the love of God is impacting people's lives with the same love that we are experiencing from God. So my question to you this morning, and we're just flowing, eh? Next session we're going to go deeper. But my question to you this morning is, have you learned to love yourself? Have you learned to care for yourself? You know, you're talking about eating healthy, you know? A lot of people don't eat healthy because they actually have a self-loathing. They don't actually love themselves. And so the eating is like an addiction to keep giving them a sense of value because there's a sugar rush in it. But then they look in the mirror and they don't like who they are. But then they go back to eating. Then the enemy lies to them in the mirror again. And it's like this repeating cycle that they can't break. You know, drug addiction. You know, pornography. All these things are escapism techniques to actually escape. Why? Escape what? Escape the fact that you don't like yourself, that you don't love yourself, that you don't know how to self-care for yourself, how to nurture your own life, because you don't see yourself as worth it. You don't see yourself as valuable. You know, it's not about Tony Robbins and be positive and have a good thought life. You know, my sister wrote something the other day on our family chat WhatsApp. She said, I will not be a victim to my own thoughts. And I thought, isn't that sad that she feels like her own thoughts are against her? because we're not talking about warring against the negative belief systems or the low self-esteem that we have. That's what counselors teach you to do. What Jesus does is give you a whole new understanding about how valuable you are. And he changes your self-thoughts supernaturally so that you love yourself and can only think good about yourself. And many people in this room, because of all of us are sinners and we've all been saved by grace, but there's things the enemy has sown into your life where you don't forgive yourself for the past. So how can you love yourself if you don't forgive yourself? You know, it's amazing ministering to people and God forgives you and you've forgiven others, but why can't you get the breakthrough? Because you haven't forgiven yourself. You haven't let yourself go. You haven't released yourself. I remember years ago, Pastor, when God gave me this revelation. And I was driving home from a family function. And I was crying out to God. I felt shame. I felt condemned. I'd come back to the Lord for a couple of years, but I was still ashamed about the things I'd done when I was in the world. And I was crying out to God. And I got this vision. And God said, son, you haven't forgiven yourself. And he showed me the cylinder. It was like a jar. And all the yucky stuff was in the jar. And I wanted to get free of all the yucky stuff, but there was a lid on the jar. And he said, the lid on the jar is your unforgiveness that you have towards yourself. Because I've already forgiven you. And I've already forgotten about it. So the only person that's reminding you is yourself. And I saw, as I began to forgive myself, I saw the lid on the jar come off. And I saw all the stuff just leave the jar. And the jar was clean again. See, we are the ones that bottle it in. But we need to learn how valuable we are to God. The Bible says that we are the apple of his eye. Have you ever meditated on that for a while and just thought about the fact that you are the most precious, protective, focused bit in the center of God's eye? I guarantee you meditate on that for one day, you're going to feel a lot different about your life and about God's relationship with you. You might start thinking you're God's favorite. And you are. You might start thinking you're special to God. And you are. See, what we believe is what we attract. And the reason that we don't attract the favor of God, which he has for all of us, is because we don't really believe that he loves us. And so today, for the last few minutes of this message, I want us to learn and receive and love ourselves so that when we go out there, we can love and care for people with the same nurture and self-care we have for us, because we know how valuable we are. Keith, why don't you come up and just play some guitar this time. Hey, babe, why don't you come up and just... Let's all stand to our feet today in this place. And I just want you to lift your hands to God in this place today. And the first thing that we're going to all do today is we're going to forgive ourselves. See, no one in this room, everyone has a past. Everyone has something that's happened. Everyone has failed and made mistakes. You might have even been a Christian 20 years and then had something happen and you fell and you got back up again. But that condemnation, that shame, you beat yourself up about it. You have regrets. Even Paul at the end of his life had no regrets. Paul said, I have wronged no man. Well, he's either a liar or he found something in the heart of God because he killed people, he put people in prison. He was a bad man, yet at the end of his life he could say, I have wronged no man, because God had given him such a sense of his identity. Such a sense of value, such a sense of the blood and what the blood had done for his life and what the adoption into that sonship had done, that he could say, my conscience is clear, my mind is clean. That old man actually died with Christ. There's no recollection of it anymore. I have wronged no man. So right now, as you're in this presence, God is beginning to bring some things up to you, some condemnation, some memories, some images, some things that you went through that still bring a shadow over you. And God is saying, will you forgive yourself? Will you forgive yourself today? Sing in the spirit, babe. Just let it go right now. Just say, God, I forgive myself. Just whisper it out to him. Say, God, I forgive myself. I let it go. Now, some of you have been so busy, you've made this busy life for yourself where you've busied God out of the equation. You haven't busied church out of the equation, but you've busied God out. You've made yourself so busy with that self-talk and that busyness and that constant motion, that constant drama, that constant putting out fires and the busyness of your life, because you're afraid that if you stand still, you won't feel good about yourself. You look in the mirror, there's things that you're trying to... Just begin to love yourself right now. Begin to care for yourself right now. Just let that presence begin to come upon you. Just begin that presence to come upon you right now. Of self-care right now. I don't like this about myself. I don't like that about myself. This is da-da-da-da. Hey, God made you wonderful. God made you wonderful. He made you awesome and wonderfully. He crafted you. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. Go easy on yourself. Stop being so hard on yourself. Come on, come up here. Just lift your hands to Just lift your hands in this place.
Oh, how he loves us.
You say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. And God says, I heard you the first time. I heard you the first time. I heard you the first time. Come on, come up the front there. Just receive from the Lord right now. Come on, go up the front. Come on, come up the front. Just receive from the Lord today. Watch out, watch out, watch out. Just go up the front and just pour your heart out to the Lord. Receive from the Lord today. Thank you, Father.
Oh, he loves us.
Some of you are starting to feel as you let things go, as you just let it go. Well, I went through that divorce. I went through that divorce, Joe, and it was hard. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. I went through that breakdown of the relationship. I went through that struggle. Just let it go. I'm in a real hard place in my marriage right now, Joe. Just let it go. Just let it go. The love of God. Just let it go. God's softening your heart. Just go up the front and worship Him today. God's just softening your heart to trust Him more.
Oh, how He loves me.
Jesus, mighty name.
Oh, how He loves me.
Thank you, Father.
With all His heart, with all His mind, with all His strength. Oh, how He loves me.
Worship You, Jesus.
With all His mind, with all His heart, with all His strength. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me.
That's it. Fire. Fire of His love upon you, sir. The Father's love. The Father's love come upon you, sir. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. A fresh love. Divine love. Agape love come upon you, guys. Agape love come upon you. That even in your age, you shall know a fresh touch of the love of God. As you just let go of all regrets, as you let go of all seasons of struggle, as you let go of all hardness, that love comes in, all encompassing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just the Father saying, I'm proud of you. Just know that. That the Father is saying, I'm proud of you. That He's calling you son. That's enough. That's enough for you. He's proud of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. More love. Are you feeling this, sweetie? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. This is what you needed today, eh? It was just His love. Yeah, there you go. Just let it go right now. Just let it go. Can we get someone to just come over here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Jesus, thank you so much for your presence this morning. And our services are just kind of melding into each other. So from last night and this morning, they're kind of just kind of blending into each other. We're going to continue just to minister up here at the front and pray for these. But feel free right now, first of all, just to continue just to hang out in his presence, amen, and be with him. Receive his love. Seal it to your heart. We're officially going to, you know, sort of transition and allow you just to, you know, go to whatever you need to do next. But I want to just, this morning is kind of unusual. I want to invite you, if you have the sense in your heart, just to stick around for the next service. Now, those that are coming at 10 o'clock are probably going to wondering, hey, what happened to all the parking? But that's okay. Let them figure it out. Let them figure it out. It'll be fine. But this is what we've been contending for 40 days. Contending for more of his presence. And there's just a wonderful sense of his love in the room. And I don't want to just take off. Amen. But if you had something planned for today, feel totally free. Joe and Leslie do have some more books back there if you want to kind of move back there and check those out. And if you'd like to, if you are going to take off, we'll do this again in the second service, but if you are going to take off and you'd like to support them, please do that. Just make the check out to Joseph Lee. So Joseph Lee, L-E-E. And Lisa's back there, and she has baskets. And you can just, we'll just put, place baskets at both sides. Yeah, just, so Charlene's got one over there, and then one over there. Yeah. So just if you feel inclined, there's absolutely no, don't feel anything like you have to do anything. So it's just, there's no obligation. Just if you want to bless them. They came out of faith. They just came out of a leading from the Lord. They came all the way from New Zealand. They got three kids with them. Can you imagine what the airfare is like for that, right? So if we can bless them, that'd be really wonderful. So there'll be a basket there and a basket there. But feel free right now just to kind of transition to what the Lord is leading you to do next. You can hang out. You can go get a cup of coffee. And then we're going to start the next service at 10 o'clock. If you're still here, awesome. Awesome. Amen. Oh, and don't forget, Justin and Britt are over here as well. They're right there with Caroline. So don't forget to give your alohas to them as well. But say thanks to Joseph and Leslie. Would you give them a big hand? Thank you so much. And we thank you, Father, for how you are amazing. You are amazing in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love you guys.